Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Good afternoon, Scott Tilford.
And no one else. Mr. James Dowse has hay fever. Hope he's doing very well. Hey, how's he doing?
Hey.
Not very well. It's 4 p.m. I don't know. We're doing a podcast. I'll tell you what's coming up, though, is the PlayStation State of Play and also an Xbox Bethesda Showcase. So we thought we'd do a bunch of predictions, a bunch of rumors, a bunch of whatever the hell might turn up at these various events. And to first temper expectations, the PlayStation State of Play, they immediately got out there and said, this is only for PlayStation VR. R2 and third parties, so it's not going to be big old God of War showcase. I think that'll be its own thing because
Absolutely.
That seems to be that's what they do. They go, hey, State of Play, but no, it's a separate thing. Don't worry about it. It gets its own State of Play where they'll do gameplay, assumedly for God of War or whatever. And on the Xbox side, it's kind of all to play for. You know, they've had Starfield be delayed, have Redfall be delayed, and to me, they have a lot of wins to claw back. So there's quite a lot of things to talk about. We'll start with PlayStation stuff though. Now, I hope that we'll get some Resident Evil Village DLC, and the reason is that we've already passed the 1 year anniversary for Resident Evil Village, which blew my tiny mind.
That doesn't make sense.
That was on May 2nd. It's already been out for a year and I know a year and like 3 weeks or whatever, so it's been over a year. They said DLC was coming back at E3 2021, and it hasn't arrived yet. So if one of the things that is hanging over the PlayStation State of Play or hanging around Sony in general is the idea of the acquisitions, the idea that Capcom's going to be acquired, or and the idea of Square Enix being acquired as well. And why not hold off on this stuff to be like, welcome to the fold, Capcom, and also here's your Resident Evil DLC.
That would be outrageous. Boom. I would love it, though, because like you said, you know, Resident Evil Village owned. They did say that DLC was going to come. Without spoiling anything, the final scene of that game does set up either a new game or some potential spin-off DLC that I hope it follows the thread of if we do get it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that sounds amazing. And also, Capcom said that they wanted a Resident Evil every year, and we don't really have one this year. We've got that multiplayer thing Reverse coming out, but if they it's not real, and two, if they class that as like a main Resident Evil release, I will lose my head.
You'll go to their offices.
Doesn't make any sense. I'm gonna one up you on this.
Go
I'm
on.
Gonna pull out a trump card.
Yes,
my friend.
Do it.
I not only think they have Resident Evil DLC, which will also be PSVR 2 compatible, by the way,
Ooh.
But they'll also announce Resident Evil 4 Remake alongside Resident Evil 4 for the PSVR 2. I think it's going to be a Resident Evil bonanza, and we'll all love it.
The thing is, like, it's that whole, like I said, it's in the small print where they're sort of like, they announce a state of play, everyone goes, oh my God, it's going to be everything that I want, and they go, hey, hold your horses, it's not, it's going to be third-party stuff. But, you know, if they want remotely good optics around these announcements, then yes, you can still have those big things, whether it is an acquisition of Capcom or whether they just tap back into something like Resident Evil. Obviously, Village was incredibly high-selling, and we would take a lot more of that. Like you said, the way that story 3 ends either is a set up of Resident Evil 9. It's like, you know, to skirt around it, I mean, you might have played through it at this point, or you haven't. There's a new character by the end of it. Let's not go into the what happens during the majority of Village, but there is a new character by the end of it. And it feels like something else could be done with them. But yeah, I mean, that reverse thing is nowhere near a stand-in for the next main installment. I would hope that they just take Resident Evil 4 as it is on the Oculus right now and then show it running on a PSVR 2. But I just, I don't know, the whole thing with the Resident Evil 4 remake and like Capcom's whole, you know, thing about we're going to do a couple of Resident Evils or roll them out more regularly, that just feels like it got completely sideswiped by COVID stuff. And I wonder if this is like it is in every other industry this year, just them playing catch up.
Well, we know they have a lot of stuff in development. Like you said, they mentioned the DLC. We know that a next-gen version of Resident Evil 3 is coming, for instance.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was.
Do we?
You can't believe it. That was actually revealed. So, like, they've got a lot of
DLC, mate. That's the DLC right there.
They've got a lot of things to play, a lot of cards to play, and it's just how much they drop in this state of play or whether they save some of it for a bigger kind of conference later on down the line. However, what I was mentioning there with Resident Evil 4 coming to PSVR 2 and maybe some of the DLC coming to PSVR 2, I think with this state of play, we're going to see a lot of announcements and then a tagged-on trailer at the end being like, and also coming to PSVR 2. One of my suggestions was that we'll see Modern Warfare 2 at reveal thing. And we don't know, but the rumors suggest that there's going to be a PSVR exclusive mode for that game. So maybe alongside the trailer they go, and we've got Call of Duty coming to PSVR 2 to build hype that way.
There was something about the amount of business deals that Sony have done to lock down some sort of Call of Duty exclusivity for not only this year or next year, but 2024 or something as well. So it seems like that's kind of going back and forward. There's also rumors to hop very quickly across to the Xbox side that the Indiana Jones game is no longer Xbox exclusive. But those things are just kind of all over the place. Like in terms of actual quotes from people, I did pull one from Jim Ryan, and it's just about general acquisitions. Like I said, there's the Capcom stuff. There's also the Square Enix stuff, because we're overdue an update on Final Fantasy 16. That game has been mentioned by their producer, whose name I completely forget, but saying that the game is nigh on finished, that they're just waiting to put it out. There was a whole rumor about it replacing Forspoken in their rollout for the rest of the year. And there is a quote from Jim Ryan, reported by Video Game Chronicle, where he was speaking during a business segment briefing, where he said, in terms of future mergers and acquisitions activity, we're not at all finished with our strategy of trying to grow PlayStation Studios. So I wonder if he's getting out there, because this is only like 4 or 5 days ago by the time people are hearing this, if that is leading into some sort of state of play, summer dominating thing. It won't be, because it's state of play. It'll be nothing. It'll be an indie game. There'll be nothing at all.
They'd probably announce it like 4 days after the state of play in a blog. You know, they'd be like, oh, by the way, we also bought Capcom. We could have shown you that, but it's just...
Who was that outlet that Mark Cerny kept ringing up going like, we've got new haptic stuff?
Was it Variety? I think it might be... No, Wired. It was Wired, yeah.
That, oh my God, that was 2018, 2019. First mention of the PS5 was just in a Wired article when he's talking about, this is what it'll feel like to walk over mud. And it's like, all right, Mark Cerny, like, I like what you do, but like, oh my God. But yeah, the overall thing with the Square Enix stuff, either is an update on Forspoken, because that game isn't doing very well receptively. Final Fantasy 16 would land better. Assumedly, Forspoken is a timed PS5 exclusive. Final Fantasy 16 is assumedly a full-on PlayStation 5 exclusive. One of them would work better than the other.
Got a thought for you there, kid. I reckon we see Final Fantasy 16 stuff at this state of play. I keep calling it like a press conference. It's not state of play. It's
an online live stream.
And I think we see a release date for that. I think they lock that in with this state of play. However, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Do it.
What if they also announced that Forspoken, because we know that's very far along, it just got rated, for instance, it was rated like 18, I think, for violence and what have you. What if, instead of pushing it back, they actually launched that on the new PlayStation Plus service? What if
that would be a way to salvage it? I mean, they did that with Destruction All-Stars. That's kind of like the weird undercurrent of a lot of Game Pass releases, or assumedly what will become PlayStation Plus premium releases, which is, if a game's not that great, like if the marketing's not going that well, just put it in front of people anyway. Outriders was just like, just put it on Game Pass, just get it in front of people, they'll at least play the first couple of levels. And that might be the thing that turns the momentum around on Forspoken, because nothing about that game's rollout has landed very well, even though they do have, you know, grade A talent, like I said, Amy Hennig and Gary Witter, and they've got like a lot of people on that team that should make that game incredible, but just in general it hasn't really landed very well. What do you think of Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2? Because that thing has been rumored for the longest time. When Integrate came out, it was like, oh, you guys aren't going to have to wait very long until the next installment. That was from Tetsuya Nomura, who was the creative director. He stepped back. Apparently, he's not going to be directing Part 2. But the Final Fantasy VII Remake project, or the collection, or however they were, the compilation of Final Fantasy VII Remake, is an ongoing thing, and it is due an update. It's been a long time.
Absolutely, and I think, wasn't it just a few weeks ago that someone at Square Enix, maybe in the Final Fantasy team, said, like, you'll get some information on Final Fantasy VII in, like, a month's time. So that would line up. I don't know whether they will do their own thing, but even if they just have, like, a stinger for Final Fantasy VII Part 2, just to get the hype out there. I don't know if they would do that while 16 is in the oven. Obviously, they're very different projects, but like, they're still Final Fantasy titles, and they don't need to necessarily fight against each other. I don't know if they'll try to market both at the same time, but maybe just like an update of one of the developers kind of standing being like, don't worry, we're still working on that thing that you want, and we will show you more once the game, once 16 is shipped.
Well, that's the crazy thing as well, is that in looking into Final Fantasy VII Remake, that game was meant to come to Xbox, and then they just missed the release window and never updated anybody. So maybe that's going to be at the Xbox showcase instead, because Xbox fans are still waiting to access the base version of Final Fantasy VII Remake, and whether or not it has the integrated stuff as part of it as well. But overall, the state of Final Fantasy could do with like something. I mean, like they had all the Battle Royale stuff, the first soldier stuff for the Final Fantasy VII Mobile Edition. There's that weird sort of polygonal remake version of 7 that isn't as cinematic as the full-on remake that was on consoles. All these different things that were meant to be coming out, remakes of Dirge of Cerberus, all these different interstitial titles from the 2000s that were meant to be getting new releases, and the pixel remasters of Final Fantasy VI and the older ones. So it's all just up in the air. It's all very, like, Square Enix, what are you guys doing? Like, we've done whole videos on this. They could do with a win. So hopefully that stuff comes together. But I guess, overall, as we reel these things off, do you actually have faith in a state of play being a big deal? Because my gut feeling is that, like, it's fun to talk about predictions, and I hope they do stuff like this. But considering just how weird the track record is for state of plays, I wonder if it will just be a shareholder pleasing thing,
right,
where you don't get very much in terms of actual excitement.
Well, because of what you've just said there, I'm not going to put all my eggs in the basket of it being a complete knockout. But I do think they have enough potentials that even if like 10% of the stuff that we've said does get shown off in the state of play, it'll still be something. Like, I'm definitely going to be there for the PlayStation VR 2 stuff.
Yes,
that's going to get me in enough, so hopefully that manages to excite me. Yes, it's not going to be on the level of a PlayStation E3 conference or one of their bigger conferences that they might do later on in the year, and I think Bethesda and Microsoft have the edge when it comes to that, but I do have hope, Scott Tilford, that it will be noteworthy. It won't be a knockout, but it will be noteworthy.
Yeah, one of the things, this is pulling from a good few years ago, was the idea of Half-Life Alyx coming to PSVR, but the whole underlying thing with that was that the tech just wouldn't be able to be capable of doing it. If the specs of the PlayStation VR 2 has been released or revealed on the PlayStation blog, assumedly they would now have enough finger-specific controllers to actually mimic what a Vive can do. And maybe Half-Life Alyx appears on the PSVR 2.
This was one of my predictions, actually. If we're talking PSVR 2 stuff especially, I think we get a lineup of Half-Life Alyx. I think we get the new chapter of the Walking Dead Saints and Sinners game.
Ooh.
I think we get to see more of the Horizon VR game that is in development. And I think we might even get something from Killzone or Resistance or something. I think if one of those shooter franchises comes back, it's in VR form.
I think if the Modern Warfare 2 thing is real, you stay the hell away from that, because they'll bury it. Like, if Call of Duty has gone VR and it's done well, then there is no way you can even begin to compete with Killzone.
Hey, I mean, the thing is, though, you never know. Like, I'm sure.
I know it's Killzone. Like,
Listen, hear me out. If we're talking pure, like, console games, no chance. Call of Duty wins every time. But if we're talking something specifically built for PSVR, like, don't tell me that a side mode for a Call of Duty game that already has thousands of developers working on it is going to necessarily be better than something built from the ground up with PSVR 2 in mind, that is solely for that thing, that is not a side project, that is like a main project by a team. I reckon, you know, with that in mind, They could go head-to-head, maybe.
I would hope so. One of the things that I want them to show off, if we, because assumedly PSVR 2 will be a big part of this stream, it's also worth saying that the entire showcase is only half an hour long.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not... They're either going to have to absolutely ram it with stuff and just go, like, trailer to trailer to trailer. But at the same time, if they're going to be showing off what the PSVR 2 can do, then I would say that needs a decent chunk of time anyway to show off what the new controllers can do and whatever new tracking modes or whatever the system, the headset has and stuff like that. And that's going to need some sort of, like you said, like built first party type thing for it, and they've said it's not third party stuff unless they're going to roll that in, I guess, with the reveal of the PlayStation VR 2. I just hope that they have something that wows us. I feel like State of Play, like Nintendo Directs, have a nice reputation where you go in not expecting anything because it's Nintendo and they just do their own thing and whatever, but 9 times out of 10 you come out of a Direct going like, oh my god, that's really cool, oh my god, they're bringing back whatever, or oh my god, there's a 3D Kirby game or whatever it is, and there's cool stuff there. Whereas I feel like State of Play, because PlayStation expectations are so much bigger and they're usually so reliable that we're across the eighth generation, that there's more expectation there that they undercut every time. So that's nigh on all I've got for PlayStation, other than they mentioned third party stuff. So I would assume, because Stray is penciled in for the summer, that we get a gameplay thing for that, because I didn't realize that Stray is actually being developed by Annapurna. I thought it was like something to do with one of Sony's in-house teams, and Little Devil Inside is being developed by Neostream, so they are third party releases even though they were unveiled alongside the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I want the cat game.
You do want the cat game. I think they'll have some indies in there. I mean, it's a State of Play. They always have some indies in there. And like I said, both of those games are long overdue a check-in to see what the status is, if they're coming out this year, if they're getting pushed to 2023. So I know that would please you.
I want Little Devil Inside. That was one of my most like anticipated games when it first got shown off. And then apparently it was like in development hell and it got pushed back and whatever.
I remember
horrible
your poor face when you were like, we're in the month it's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
We've heard nothing
not
about it.
Not a single update. And then like Sony, apparently someone knocked on enough windows that Jim Ryan looked up and went, oh, yep, sure, got you. And then he put it in the next E3 thing or whatever it was,
right,
doing an update. And they just sort of like re-showed the footage and said, yeah, it's still coming, don't worry. And the guy who was the head of Neostream hasn't ran away with the money. It will be coming out. And that's all we've had. So like, it was weird because that game was announced alongside the PlayStation 5. It was very close to when it was first talked about. And I just want that game. It looked so charming. It looked like a really cool action-adventure type thing with a heart and an old man reminiscing on his when he was young adventure and all that kind of stuff. That thing seems cool. The last thing I've got down, which is complete banana sandwich, is the Bloodborne remaster, remake, whatever it is, because everybody fell for that stupid tweet last night. But what if part of it's real?
I'm still raw from it.
What if they look at that and that's what propels it to actually get announced this time?
Maybe.
How hard is it to just put a 60 frames a second patch into a game?
I don't know, mate. They need to do something with Bloodborne, please, because they've been teasing me for years. Like, get like a studio on that to remaster. You don't even have to remake it. Just remaster
it. Just free up the frame rate. How hard is it?
Like, I do have one other big curveball for you that might come towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it for literally years now, but what if this is finally the time for Silent Hill? We've got the big leak from last month. You know, we know it's real. We know Bloober Team is kicking around,
we do,
doing their stuff. We know that there might be a remake of 2 in production, and just the fact that that stuff leaked makes me think, why not show it off now?
It's
then?
True. I mean, that would be like sort of the grand return of Konami to the game space. Like, they've not really had any wins in like going on 7-8 years. Like, it's been a long time. All the Phantom Pain stuff was obviously like dragged their name through the muck and everything. And yeah, I mean, like I would welcome the Silent Hill stuff, but again, it's a half an hour showcase, and I'd wonder how much like Silent Hill might get its own State of Play if all the rumors of it being Sony exclusive or timed exclusive or true,
yeah,
then it kind of deserves that platform.
I would agree, but what if they say Silent Hill is coming and also there's a version of it for PSVR 2? I would pre-order that thing in a heartbeat.
You'd
sell my
anything,
soul.
Any PSVR like, demo thing. It could be that makes no sense at all. Hot Shots Golf is coming
true.
To PSVR 2. I would
true,
totally
I would.
Take it. Like No Man's Sky. But yeah, I think that I would love Silent Hill. I would love something like that on that level to sort of come in and, you know, blow everything away, like, you know, one more announcement before the end or whatever. They've just not done that. The precedent for State of Play has been like you're waiting for that and one more thing, and they go, thanks for watching, guys, we'll catch you next time, and it just ends all flat. Technically, they could do Death Stranding 2 because Kojima is not a first-party studio. So that rumor, that whole thing that Norman Reedus was talking about, he was caught talking about Death Stranding, and he said, "Oh yeah, we've just wrapped bits and pieces on the second one." I forgot what who the interview was with, but Kojima then tweeted out, "You know, back to your room, Norman-san or Reedus-san or whatever." It seems like that game is obviously pretty far in development or whatever they're doing, with the director's cut coming out last year and everything. And yeah, Kojima is not a first-party studio, even though it feels like he is.
What makes me excited for everything we've mentioned now, right, is that all of it, or most of it, isn't out the realm of possibility, right? So even if they have a 30-minute state of play this week, and it's all right, it's so-so, it's fine, it gives me confidence that if when September comes around, August comes around, and they do a proper presentation, they will have stuff to show off. They will have Death Stranding 2. They will have Silent Hill. They will have all of these sequels, all of these projects in the works to finally show off. That's the dream. And if they don't, well, I'm just going to write this year off.
Well, I mean, they've got... The thing is, like, because they've said PSVR 2 third-party stuff, and assumedly that means they still won't be addressing the fact they have a whole PlayStation monthly service coming, which they just seem to just be ignoring for the most part. I guess it'll get its own trailer thing at some point, but that will be something to address, whether they sort of roll in the third-party stuff because they go, well, we've done deals with Square Enix and Namco and whoever, and we're bringing those catalogs onto the PlayStation Premium service, because after people counted up the amount of titles on the Asian territories, there are still hundreds of PlayStation 1 games, PS2 games, whatever, that don't fit the initial number that was announced. So it seems like more stuff is going to be announced for Western territories, but we haven't got there yet.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To switch gears, though, to the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, let me roll down the corner street to you the idea of the GoldenEye remake finally coming out and being played to death across the summer. Xbox needs a win. This GoldenEye's trademark was re-updated back in March this year. The near full build of the game leaked in February. It's out there. It's real. The achievements were confirmed, and Xbox just haven't released it.
This is the thing, Scott.
Where's
right?
GoldenEye, Josh?
There have been so many rumors and leaks that we've covered over the years. You know, the Damian Wayne Arkham game. The Silent Hill
Arkham
game.
Arkham Insurgency, you might say.
Arkham Insurgency. And by far, my most hated one is the remaster of GoldenEye. I am sick to my back teeth of hearing about this. Just drop it or don't, man.
Fallout 4 was a big one. That was like every other day. It was like, is another Fallout 4 thing, guys?
Fallout 5 is a big one, my friend.
I had Fallout 5 down on here initially because the thing that, because it's called the Xbox and Bethesda Showcase. I like that they're distinguishing Bethesda's body of titles, and obviously they acquired so many different titles and IP, whatever, when they got Bethesda. But because of that, I was just thinking, what could they do that would, you know, get social media going, get whatever? And I do think think that in the current era, just doing a logo reveal isn't cool anymore. It was for a little time, like Metroid Prime 4, Elder Scrolls 6, whatever. But I did wonder, would they do a Fallout 5 logo? Because Fallout 4 was 2015, and maybe Bethesda need a win, listen, considering Starfield's been delayed.
If they are making Fallout 5, I will lose all respect for them. Respect that I have left if they announce it now, because to me, it's just stringing fans along. Like, I already feel like it was a big, big mistake announcing The Elder Scrolls 6. Like, that game
Come
out for years. You know, they're just finishing up on Starfield. That's been delayed until next year. We're not going to get Elder Scrolls 6 until, like, 2027 at the latest.
Well, they
didn't really earliest.
Did the Scrolls 6 thing because it was, I'm sure it was the year that Fallout 76 was falling apart. So, again, they needed a win. There was that whole thing about Starfield being delayed because it just needed to be a higher standard, or they needed more time on the development or whatever. Reading between the lines, that just felt like it was going to be a Bethesda release, and we can't do that again because now we are the tip of the spear for the Xbox stuff, so it needs to be better.
What would get me excited, though, is if they did announce Fallout 5, but it was developed by anybody else.
Obsidian.
If it was developed by Obsidian, I would absolutely take that.
Fallout to Obsidian.
Yep, give it to Obsidian. Have it be turned around a little bit quicker so we're not waiting until after they finish The Elder Scrolls and hopefully get like the spiritual successor to New Vegas 2 that we all want. Like, that would be awesome. I would...
Stuff has been talked about, obviously, because now Obsidian and Bethesda and the IP rights and everything else are all under the same roof. That was talked about, the idea of a New Vegas 2 or whatever the hell you want to call it. Coming true, now I only put Fallout 5 down as a banter pick. The actual thing that I do think they could do, the GoldenEye thing.
Yeah.
I just don't see why you don't do that. It just feels like it's been sitting there for most of this year. And maybe they've just been waiting for the infrastructure around gaming to reach a certain point that they can release it. Which leads me into my next thing. This is an exclusive from Windows Central who revealed that one of the things that assumedly will be revealed at the showcase, but is real regardless, is codenamed the Keystone, which is a great name for a piece of kit, even though it's only the codename, which is a USB dongle that you plug into your TV that can stream Game Pass. And you just connect a controller to it. So it's a video game playing device, but it doesn't have the console, which is kind of what the PlayStation TV was. It's kind of what Google Stadia was. It's their version of that same idea, but assumedly done better because they have the inbuilt stats around Game Pass.
Hey, you do you. If you want to release that dongle, cool. That would be one of the things where I go to get some snacks.
A Microsoft spokesperson was asked about this because Windows Central / Jez Corden, the guy that wrote it up, revealed the whole thing, Keystone, and they had some in-progress concept art and stuff for it. Reached out to Microsoft, and a spokesperson said, yes, we've been working on a game streaming device codenamed Keystone that could be connected to any TV or monitor without the need for a console. So it would be a streaming system. It wouldn't have a hard drive by the sounds of it. Which I repel all idea of game streaming, so it's definitely not for me either. However, when I have used xCloud, when I have played Halo, like Master Chief Collection or Halo Infinite streaming, it does work. Like, the way that they do their the packet transmission stuff where you're connecting straight to the server, and it's like, it feels like sometimes your responses are ahead of the video feed, but at least it feels responsive in terms of the tactility of the buttons you're pushing.
Yeah.
That stuff works. It is just that sort of overall thing of game streaming not being a thing, like
absolutely.
Not really ever really, you know, clicking.
Like, for me, it's going to live or die on the pricing, because relative in comparison to other video game consoles, but the Xbox Series S is already like relatively cheap in comparison to the other consoles on the market. You know, that's a good point of entry. So it would have to be like a really nice cheap option that makes it tantalizing in comparison to the already pretty good for money
You're paying for a video stream, essentially. Like, it's, you know, you, like, that was the whole thing that Stadia sort of stumbled around on, was you needed the Chromecast thing before you could actually stream Stadia to your TV. And that would just be an interesting price to put on it, because you're going to start paying the monthly fee, and Microsoft already have a bunch of different pricing options for the series systems that you can just pay for the monthly or whatever. So I wonder, like, in terms of the Keystone thing, they just go, it's not going to be free, I guess, but like, maybe some version of it just gets it in front of people. But yeah, they still seem adamant about chasing the living room, the whole video games in the living room thing, which is what they tried to do back in 2013 or whatever it was when they announced the Xbox One, and we all went, what the living hell is this? And it didn't really work. But that thing is real, regardless of whether or not it's at the Xbox showcase. The Xbox and Bethesda showcase, I think, is 45 minutes long, so they have a bit longer to do stuff with. But overall, I think, I just kind of wrote down like a general game update thing, because a lot of their games are all over the place. There was a thing this morning that we were going to do a video one, which we might still do it later in the week, about the state of Fable. They've like been rebooting Fable. It's been given to Playground Games, who are known for the Forza series. However, the most obvious thing has happened, and there's insider report that came from the Xbox News newscast podcast, with one of their hosts saying that according to their sources, the game is struggling to work on Forza's game engine. And they're saying they have Playground are struggling because they don't have much experience in RPGs, and they're still hiring for directorial positions to help bring the whole thing together. Now, that was announced 2 years ago. Like, that was when the Series X was announced. We got a CG trailer for it. We're going to reboot Fable. We're going to give it to the Playground guys. Because Playground are based, I think, in Sheffield, but I could be wrong. But they are UK-based anyway. And it seems like, you know, they would be a good sort of English-based team to take the Peter Molyneux Lionhead-style humor and do a Fable. But that's the most obvious thing that could have happened. Like, you give it to a bunch of racing team devs, they're going to struggle making an RPG work on a racing game engine.
Totally. But I wouldn't write it off entirely yet, Scott, because Playground Games, although obviously not used to creating, you know, open-world, third-person RPGs, have smashed out the park with the Forza Horizon series. True. They've done that incredibly reliably. And yes, it's going to take time. Yes, we're probably not going to see anything from Fable anytime soon. But I just hope that it's worth the wait. Because like you said, you know, this was announced a few years ago. Mm. It was rumored and leaked like even before then.
Oh, ages ago.
One of the worst kept secrets for a while that Playground was working on this. So it's been in development for like 4 years already. And it could be another, you know, two or three going off this report.
Yeah, so one of the final parts of this report said that the overall game scope has been altered and drastically reduced to try and hit some sort of reasonable release date. So I kind of wonder if they do an update on that, because if you take a wider satellite view at what Xbox stuff do we have to look forward to for this year, obviously it was Starfield and Redfall, and those are the two things for next year. You can add on Hellblade 2, you can add on Avowed, kind of, but I feel like overall they almost all need updates. Yeah. I also threw in here Wolfenstein 3, because that was one of the most obvious things that was always going to happen, and yet it hasn't been announced yet. They did Wolfenstein Youngblood from Machine Games, even though Wolfenstein 2 ends on a massive cliffhanger, goes straight into the third part of the trilogy. But now that the acquisition's happened, you could roll that in as part of the Xbox conference. I just think they have a lot of updates to do. The last one in this regard is the Perfect Dark stuff, because Perfect Dark, according to a report, and I forget who by now, I just wrote down Development Hell. You just go get your Google on Perfect Dark Development Hell. There was an insider report talking to various developers, revealing that many members of the team, including design leads, have fled the project. Apparently they couldn't get on with the way that the overall structure was coming together. And they were more used to working autonomously, and they didn't want to answer to the structure that they had set up in New Development Studio, The Initiative. This resulted in them bringing in Crystal Dynamics to apparently get the game over the finish line. But the first trailer was back at the Game Awards 2020, and it's another thing that we've just sat on for 2 years. So I don't know, like, people could do with stuff, Xbox stuff.
We certainly could. And remember, let us know. Like, Perfect Dark was supposed to be the first quadruple A game.
Yeah, you know.
It's got a high bar that it's set for itself, just the game. But yeah, I think you're totally right. You know, when obviously the big acquisition started to happen, especially with Bethesda, I feel like last E3 especially was Microsoft just going, like, look, what projects do we have? Let's announce them all. Let's announce Avowed. Let's announce The Outer Worlds 2. We don't care if, like, it's going to take 4 years to do one, then another 4 years to do the other. Just get our roadmap out. But getting the roadmap out there is different to delivering on that roadmap, you know? And it's the same issue that I have with Bethesda announcing The Elder Scrolls 6. It's all well and good, us knowing that these games are coming, but it's something else entirely when you have to wait like 5, 6, 7 years for it to become a reality. And it builds expectations that we're going to see them sooner than we are. Like, we're not going to go into this conference, in my opinion, and see both Avowed and The Outer Worlds 2, because you know, the same team is working on them both. Like, they can only focus on one at a time. And it's cool to know that they're coming, but it throws our expectations in the air, because we expect everything. We expect all of these games to get updates when they're probably not, and that is a shame.
I said this when we did the news this morning about the God of War release date, and the general way that, like I said, Sony have handled their PlayStation Premium stuff, or the way they've handled God of War Ragnarok, where we're getting an update from Corey Barlog on a webcam as opposed to a proper video or something like that. And on the Xbox side, like, as someone who has grown up with Xbox and followed it for this long, it is this background thing where I can't believe they haven't sorted this yet. Like, we had this we had all of this across the entire last generation, where we got like two or three games that we even talked about, like Sunset Overdrive, Drive, Sea of Thieves, Gears. Like, there was so few and far between, and I was like, oh man, they're going to come flying out the gates on this generation. And as the years roll on, and I get it, it's COVID, but even before COVID, it's not like they fired out the gates going, all these release dates are set in stone.
Yeah.
They just seem to be kind of floundering. And the proof in the pudding, the smoking gun or whatever, was the way Halo Infinite rolled out, where they realized a month before launch that it wasn't ready. And I was like, how did you not know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's just a side of it where I absolutely love the idea managerial-wise of letting these teams be autonomous, but you need some sort of vision for Xbox that isn't just throwing stuff in a bucket and hoping for the best.
Totally. I fully agree. I just don't know what, like, they could, you know, go back to the announcements very briefly. Like, I don't know what else they would have even in the chamber. Like, maybe they would have the Gears Master Chief style collection of
there is mentioned as well,
stuff like that. But everything else, yeah, we're just sort of waiting to see how they turn out, whether or not they're going to be on target, you know, like Fable, or whether it's going to be an issue like Halo Infinite, where they get to Fable's release date and go, actually, this probably needs more time in the oven. Let's send it back.
Get Joseph Staten in.
I don't know how many times that has happened in these studios, but it's a very similar story when you look into the reports about Perfect Dark and look into the reports about Halo Infinite. Mm. You know, these creatives coming and going, your struggles with the teams and what have you. And yeah, like, it's a utopia to get all of these developers working autonomously and not having, you know, a real firm kind of creative mandate. But at the same time, like you said there needs to be something in place to make sure these teams aren't imploding or falling apart.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the thing. Like, you had the first quadruple A game, which is going to be nowhere near that now. Like, if it even comes out at all, by the sounds of it. And it's just, yeah, it's that general feeling of, you know, you look at the way the 360 rolled out, one of the greatest console runs in gaming history. That thing just went strength to strength to strength. And I get that we lived in a different time in terms of media and exposure to the way that these dev cycles were. And maybe if we knew the realities of how those games were coming together, it would just be maybe the same thing. But I just think it's fascinating looking at the way that, you know, people have a lot of love for Xbox and love for Bethesda. And I'm going into these things going, okay, what have you guys got? Like, looking for things that are going to be worth talking about on the other side of it. But kind of part of me is just kind of just thinking, maybe you don't actually have anything ready yet. And that's kind of just weirdly up in the air.
It's going to be interesting to see if anything gets firm release dates. I think, you know, they have a pretty barren rest of the year, and then they've got Starfield and Redfall presumably early next year. When is Hellblade coming? You know, when is Avowed coming? When is Perfect Dark coming? You know, once they start putting dates on those things, then I can start getting properly excited for them.
Do you think as well, because there was that whole viral thing around Game Pass, that do they stay away from Game Pass stats, or do they do something in the showcase going like, well, we've got all these players and people completion stats and new genre stats, and don't worry guys, all these games are coming to Game Pass, and just tag on as many monthly idea things as they can?
Absolutely, man. You know, even if Game Pass doesn't reveal its numbers all that often, like, they're fully on it. They will they will definitely double down on Game Pass stuff, I think, especially if we've got that Keystone, you know, coming. Like, that's obviously a way to get Game Pass in households. They double down on Game Pass 100%.
I want some sort of new, because another thing that was rumored was called Halo the Endless, but that was just some random image. There's loads of leaks doing the rounds right now. Loads of, like, off-cam, slightly from the left shots of stuff that's all blurry, as if someone's ran past a screen and taken a shot. And none of those things will be, are obviously real. But there is the idea of the next main installment of Halo, or just what do they do with Halo? Because Halo Infinite's campaign was in itself very thrown together. Like, it was just this big open world with, you know, very arbitrary things to do in that open world, and then very little else. And the multiplayer has been really threadbare. We had a couple of new maps in like a year, and it just feels very like tossed together. But I think that, I wonder how they play those cards. Like, do they lean on stuff that is bankable, or is it about time that you do a new Microsoft Game Studios game, and that's the new face of Xbox? That's the new thing that leads you into this next generation. Because the old stuff, like Gears, Fable, whatever, they're fine, but they're not like turning heads or whatever.
I would love something new. I would love it if they have like a secret IP that they've been working on for all of this time, and it comes out and it's something that will compete directly with Gears, with Halo and what have you. Like, give us, like you said, a new face for a new generation, because at the moment in time, we're looking at legacy stuff. We're looking at sequels to games that we liked for third parties, like The Outer Worlds 2, like Hellblade 2 and what have you. Where's the new kind of homegrown thing? It's all well and good buying stuff that will definitely net them a lot of fans and a lot of money, but you want that nugget of creativity at the heart of it.
To bring this back, we didn't actually talk about the GoldenEye stuff that much, but what do you think of that IP, like that talking point? Because that is in itself ancient.
Well, this is what I mean, man. This is like I alluded to earlier, you know, like I'm like, it means nothing to me. Mm. It means
nothing to me.
It means nothing to me. like it's before my time. Because I just is a legacy to it, but yeah. It doesn't get me excited. I'm not going to buy an Xbox for the GoldenEye.
No, that's the thing. Would you buy a Keystone for it though? That's the thing. Like if GoldenEye comes out, they bank on the idea that GoldenEye has this massive cultural cachet. It's one of the most referred to first person shooters of all time, one of the most popular like team deathmatch modes in gaming history. And if they do a Top Gun Maverick where all of a sudden it appeals to multiple age brackets all at once, and you have either you already have the system, the Series S, or you just get a Keystone and you can just plug it into your TV and have a few rounds of GoldenEye and it's on Game Pass, then that's a really fun summer thing. I think that gives them a win, but it's still rooted in the past. I think that it's still a lot of older gamers going, oh, back in my day, it was GoldenEye. It was great. And like that's just fun. I just feel like for me, GoldenEye, you know, if you read into the whole development history of this remake, it's been ready since like 2008 or something. It's just about time that stuff came out. And I think they could do with a multiplayer, easy access win, because Halo Infinite isn't really that, even though it should be.
It's funny that like Xbox has been doing this for two generations now. And by this, I mean relying on legacy titles, you know, whether it's GoldenEye or whether it's Killer Instinct that they brought out. It doesn't matter how big or small, they will rely on that old IP. And yeah, sometimes they do something really interesting with it. It's just kind of dawned on me there that this has been their game plan for a long time, and it's kind of worked for them. But I wonder how long it holds out, because eventually you're going to like mine all of that stuff dry, surely. Like who is going to be all in on GoldenEye, you know, in 2022? Yes, it will definitely appeal to some people. It will be a win in a form, but surely there's more potential in like growing something new. I don't know.
But also as well, you couldn't make a GoldenEye that plays better than Halo Infinite does, or plays better than Call of Duty is. Plus, there's like two generations that won't even know who Pierce Brosnan is. let alone wanting to play it over something else that they're already getting stuck into. But yeah, there are interesting times ahead. Both PlayStation State of Play and the Xbox and Bethesda Showcase are coming in the next sort of month or so, and we'll just see what happens. There's hopefully enough stuff announced across the summer, or things that are announced that can fill in for the rest of 2022. It's all up in the air.
It certainly is.
For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Telford, joined by Josh Brown.
Always a pleasure, Scott Telford.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.